Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I am a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and it's such a pleasure to speak again with Bishop Robert Barron, the Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles. Bishop Barron, you had the chance to participate in the Synod on Faith, Vocation, and the Youth. Can you share a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, it was a good experience. It was a lot of work. It was 4 full weeks, and they have you going pretty much morning, noon, and night. You listen to a lot of speeches from the floor of the Synod, and then we have small group discussions, and those are very interesting. I was in an English language group, but it was people from all over the planet, you know, from the Middle East, from Asia, from Africa, the Americas, every place. So that was really interesting. And also, I was elected relatore, which is the term that means the hardest work in the Synod. You have to take notes during all the small group conversations and then summarize it and then present it before the Synod. So 3 separate times I had to get up in front of the whole Synod. The Pope is right there and present this summary. But it meant that I had to work pretty much all day every day because Sunday was the one day we had to work on these things. Anyway, it was good, though. I love the international quality of it. You really see the whole church all over the world. I love the presence of the Pope. The Pope was there practically every day with us. He was very present to us. And then the young people, there were about 30 young people from around the world were there in the Synod Hall. So along with the bishops, they were present. And so all that was a very rich experience.
You gave an intervention about the new apologetics. Can you share a little bit about the importance of that?
Yeah. Each one of us was invited to do, you know, one 4-minute intervention. So I decided to talk about this theme because I'm just convinced a big part of the problem in the last 50 years is we've kind of dumbed down the faith. We've not communicated it well at the intellectual level. A lot of Catholics are unable to articulate their faith well. And we live in a time when there's a lot of assault on religion coming from secular and kind of scientistic sources. Mm. So I was calling for a revival in a smart, engaged apologetics that will listen to the concerns of the time. And I mentioned several based on my work. Religion and science, huge problem for a lot of young people. Religion and violence is a giant obstacle for a lot of young people. How to read the Bible. Is the Bible fostering violence, for example? So I think listening to their questions, responding with the wealth of our intellectual tradition, I think is not the whole story, but it's a big part of the story of the new evangelization.
Was that theme taken up in the final document at all, to your satisfaction?
No, I'd say, frankly. Maybe there's a gesture toward it in the final document, but I would say no, that wasn't really taken up. But, you know, we do what we can. I brought it up, too, at the small group. Context. Maybe one way it did is I kept insisting on the new media are a great way for us to evangelize and to propagate the faith, and that we ought to be teaching through the new media, and that it provides an opportunity we just did not have, I mean, even 10 years ago, to reach out to the unaffiliated. So maybe there indirectly, but I would say no, not really to my satisfaction.
Because I love the image you use with the on the road to Emmaus and addressing those disciples.
Right. And my point there, and now I was very happy about that, that did find its way into the final document. In fact, it's kind of a structuring element. They use the road to Emmaus story all the way through. What I liked, many things, but one is all the great themes of Pope Francis, of listening and accompanying and so on, are there as Jesus walks with the disciples. But then at a decisive moment, I said he teaches, you know, he tells them about all the things concerning him in the Old Testament. And when he teaches them, their hearts begin to burn within them. Mm. So I said, there's the rhythm that's natural in the life of the church. Of course, we listen and we hear. And what are you talking about on your way? I thought beautiful applies to today. Is the church should say to young people, hey, what are you talking about? You know, and then the church listens very attentively, but then teaches. That, yes, got in the document, so I was pleased about that.
Yeah, I think it was maybe Archbishop Chaput who said that accompaniment is inadequate if you accompany someone off a cliff.
That's right. And I say it doesn't mean just wandering around with someone. I mean, to accompany, well, I this also made in the document. I brought out the etymology. You know, it's kumpane. Accompaniment comes from the breaking of the bread. And so it has that Emmaus kind of overtone. But it's not wandering around with someone. It's bringing someone somewhere, you know, where you think they ought to go. It's not aggressive. It's not being patronizing. It's based upon listening and the knowing of someone's heart. But it's also directional.
To reflect just a moment again on the synod process, one cynical comment could be that there's a document, there's already a plan, and it just gets shoved through.
I could say really unequivocally that's not the case. And I know it because we had the Instrumentum Laboris, right, which is like the working document. And I can tell you, our small group really worked at that document. I mean, we went through it line by line and commented, questioned, corrected, et cetera, et cetera. And then I made the report in the name of my group. There are many other relatores, and we all made our reports. I can tell you unequivocally that many things that came up in our small group made it into the final document. So it clearly wasn't just prepackaged, you know. Now, you know, as I said, any meeting of that size is to a degree prepackaged. I mean, the organizers know what they want, and they tend to move it in certain directions. But that's the way it always goes. No meeting is just utterly open-ended, you know. But I think we made a substantive contribution to the final document.
And I'm sure the bishops who attended were edified and formed by your engagement with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And there are about 250. It's like probably roughly the size of this crowd here. About 250 bishops. And we were crowded in. This room was much more comfortable. That room was very narrow seats, very hot. We're all in cassocks. So it was like sardine cans, you know. Then we had the coffee breaks, though, were very interesting. So several times a day there'd be a break, and then you'd see people and you could talk. And there were many people, like Cardinal Schoenborn's an example, whom I'd read for many years. I never met him. And I run into him. He's looking at his iPhone, and I just, you know, ran into him and said, oh, Cardinal Schoenborn. Cardinal Sara is another one. Never met before. He was there. Archbishop Schlacuna, who was just recently named to the third position at the CDF, was in our small group. Cardinal Tagle was in our small group. He's often mentioned as a papal candidate. So anyway, that was really interesting to be at you know, close quarters with these fascinating people.
And in your case, that formation and engagement will spill over in lots of ways because of how much you're in the media.
Yeah.
But overall, there's only five or six U.S. bishops. How does the experience spill out into the rest of the church ordinarily?
You mean the church here in the States? Like how? Well,
that's right.
I think you're going to hear today from Bishop Caggiano, who is one of our group. He's going to give a report. My hope would be that as many as we can, the dioceses could have sort of versions of a synod more locally. I would distill, you know, five or six major points from the synod and to say, okay, how can we make these real on the ground, you know, in L.A. or in New York or Chicago? That's my hope, you know, that it does trickle down eventually. These things are... they're slow and subtle, these processes, you know, that something happens in Rome, but it takes a long time for it to find its way into the wider church.
I know that the Holy Father has made an effort to have wider collaboration and input from a whole variety of people, including a whole group of young people from around the world that provided their own input. Could you sense that from your experience of the Synod?
Oh, yeah. The young people... in Globo, you know, would respond often to speeches. So after a speech, if the young people liked it, they would kind of whoop and they'd sort of holler, you know. And all the bishops, that was an unusual moment in the Synod. But also they were there at the small groups, a very lively presence in the small groups. Also, every young person made an intervention. So every single member of the Synod, not just the bishops, all made interventions. So they were definitely heard from, no question.
Bishop Barron, thank you so much for
my pleasure
taking the time and sharing with us some of
always
the fruits of the
Synod. Always good to be with you. Thanks.